today I'm going to continue in that thought vein about numbering our days, listening, and the value of listening to the Holy Spirit. So let's go before the Father this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it has the power to change us, the power to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak, to conform us into the likeness of your Son. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, God, for every person that's listening, either here in person or online today, Father, that you would strengthen them in their beliefs. If there is a new belief that they need to have in their life, Father, from the Word of God, I thank you, Father God, for forming that new belief. If there is a belief that needs to be strengthened, I thank you that you're strengthening that belief. Father, I thank you that you're bringing change and hope to each person under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 Turn with me our two key verses that we have gone to. Psalm 90. Psalm 90 has been one of the key verses that we have looked at. And it is the Psalm of Moses. The Psalm of Moses. And in Psalm 90, he tells us, he says, teach us. Psalm 90. Go ahead and get there. I'll tell you the exact verse. Just 1 second. Psalm 90. Hallelujah. And it says, here we go. Verse 12, not 14. All right. Teach us to realize. Hang on. Let me read from the right version here. All right. I like having access to multiple versions, but sometimes you don't have it on the right one. All right, here we go. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord. Father, right now I just pray for this congregation that you continue to teach us to number our days. Father, that we would understand that we are here. We are here as a mist, that our life is quick. And Father, what we do for eternity matters. Not so much what we're doing in just this life, but Father, what we do matters. So Father, I pray, God, that you would minister your great, great wisdom to each person today in the name of Jesus. And then over there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, see then you walk circumspectly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God in the name of the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So, teaching us to number our days. Last week, I said that one of the things that we need to do is that if we're going to kind of set our priorities in order for this new year, that there would be some lenses that we look at those priorities through. And the reason why I've been taking my time with you on this, instead of just blowing by a New Year's resolution or a New Year's goal or a vision board, which are all, I'm not so good fan of resolutions, but goals and vision boards are great. But sometimes we need to be thoughtful in actually appropriating those. Instead of just flippantly, you know, writing something out, we want to listen. We want to listen. So one of the filters that we need to do is learn to tune out the noise around us. And so that's the reason why I talked about fasting. And I gave you some common sense guide to fasting, that fasting is not just going without food. That's a diet. Right? That's just a diet. Going without food is a diet. What are you doing in place of that physical nourishment? And we talked about the fact that fasting doesn't make God do something. it actually positions us to hear better so that, again, we are listening. We're tuning out the noise around us. We talked about that little squelch button on the CB radio. It tunes out all of the so you can hear clearly what God is saying. So we're going to continue on in that idea of listening. And as I was praying about today, I said, okay, Lord, I know there's more that you need to tell us about listening. More you need to tell us about listening. So God, we thank you that you're helping us. You're helping us. And so as I get to my notes here, as I was looking at that, at listening and really digging a little bit deeper, we want to listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks. Romans chapter 8, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and this is where we'll jump off today and start on Romans chapter 8. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He is so good. He is so good that he gives us his word so that we can learn. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So if we are thinking about learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, so we're positioning ourselves to set our priorities for 2023. God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to redeem the time. Teach us to listen by turning out all the noise that's around us and taking some time. I've given you some practical advice and even tools. I talked about the first 15. And I know some of you have actually come up to me and told me, listen, I've been putting the first 15 in practice and it's made a difference in some situations that I'm walking through. Remember, the first 15 are give God that first 5 minutes of scripture reading, prayer, and worship. 15 minutes. And, you know, and if you get interrupted, figure out a way to give him the peace that you're missing. You know, because sometimes our lives do get busy. Sometimes the morning time, the rush of the morning, can get busy. So if, for some reason, you oversleep, happens to everybody, well, maybe not everybody, but it happens to a lot of people, right? Then go ahead and just make up that 15 somewhere else. If it's listening to worship music on the way to work, if it's just pouring your heart out to God. What I have found, when I have kind of set a simple goal like 15, I have found that I get consumed. I found myself 2 days ago going through the entire book of Nehemiah. Because God's like, he's dealing with me about some things for the future of our church. And so I've been just kind of meditating a little bit about Nehemiah. He's the one who rebuilt. He rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem and got things going again after they had been exiled. And so I know there's some truths there. And I just kind of got really into it. And before long, I'm like, oh no, I got to get ready. I got to go to work. Has that ever happened to you? You just jump into the scripture and say, oh my goodness, where did the time go? You know, the coffee cup's empty long ago, you know, and you're just in the scripture, and you're like, read, what happened next? What happened next? What happened next? And the Lord is just communing with you, and he's just showing you some things. And so, you know, I just challenge you. These are some simple things that are going to help you set the priorities help you number your days for 2023. Now, for some of you, maybe you already set those goals. Maybe you already have your vision board out. Maybe there are things that you've been working on for years. That's fine. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Understand, Jesus Christ is coming back again.
Yes.
Now, when I got saved, everybody was talking about that. Everybody. Almost every type of Christian organization, you get around somebody and they start talking about, you know, the signs of the time. You know, the signs of the times. You know, the signs of the time. I got news for you. The signs of the times have only increased. The prophecies have only been confirmed even more and more and more. In fact, over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, the apostle Peter writes to us and he says, in the last days, and that word in the last days in chapter 3, that's that famous passage where he says all scripture is inspired by God.
Yes.
In that same passage of chapter 3 in 2 Peter, he is talking about, he says, in the last days, the Greek translation there is in the last of the last days. In the very, very tiny, tiny last of the last days. Now, Lord, if you're teaching us to number our days, then there should be a sense of urgency that should come upon each one of us, that there are those that don't know Christ. There really is a hell. We don't hear a lot of people preaching it because it's not popular to preach. You know, well, Pastor, I just don't believe there's a hell. I just don't believe a good God's going to send anybody to hell. Show me in the Word that there's no hell. You won't find it. Now, that doesn't sound like good news, and everybody's got quiet on me, right? Because I mentioned hell, right? Our goal is never to preach hell to somebody. Do you hear me?
Yes.
But our goal is to preach the good news that they don't have to go there.
Amen.
We don't send anybody to hell. I don't tell anybody to go to hell. I don't tell people they are going to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I don't tell people because I judge them that they're going to hell. I tell them they can avoid hell.
Yes.
Because it's a very real place. Now, with that said, God is telling us to number our days. He's telling us that there are certain priorities that should be set in our life that should be higher than others. Listening is what we're focusing in on right now. That when we're setting our priorities, when we're numbering our days, when we're redeeming the time, we're looking at those priorities through the lens of listening. When we're listening, we're saying, okay, God, if I'm your son, and we just read that in Romans 8, right? In Romans 8, when it said in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you are a son or a daughter of God, you need to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. If you jump up ahead of that verse, in verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but, right, for if we live according to the flesh, we'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What's that talking about? He's talking about your flesh has desires that are contrary to the Word of God. Why? Because they're hardwired and we're still living in a fallen state. So when we understand that the flesh, and I talked about this last week and we kind of had a little chuckle, your flesh has a voice. And we have not been good at teaching people how to squelch that voice. And how to listen to the Spirit on the inside, to be led of the Spirit of God. You see, culture right now is telling people, listen to your flesh. Just listen to your flesh. Do what you want to do. It reminds me of when the Old Testament prophet said, every way was right in a man's own eyes. Just talk to people today. People have their own religion. They make up stuff. I worked with a young man who told me, I asked him one day, I said, so what kind of faith background are you? He said, well, I grew up this church, and I grew up that church, and I went here when I was a kid, and I'm Star Wars now. I looked at him, I said, Star Wars? He said, yeah, that's what I put on my military tags. Star Wars. His military tags said his religion was Star Wars. Every way is right in a man's own eyes. We have not taught people what this word said. We've not been good at mentoring. We've not been good at discipling. We've been good at telling and yelling and judging and condemning and kicking when somebody's down. We've been real good at that. Right? I don't believe that's you. I don't believe that's this church. But by and large, I'm saying by and large, we've got to get back to teaching people the goodness of God. Teaching people they can say no and squelch that voice of the flesh down. What are we doing? We're learning to listen to the Spirit of God. When we learn that, that is going to be, that. I mean, that's what's going to give us victory. You know, we've been talking, the first Sunday of this year, we talked about, and it was January 1st, we said first things first, right? You know, when we understand that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We're three parts. You know, a well-known minister said this. He said, you know, we're really good at feeding our bodies three square meals a day, right? And giving our spirit one cold snack a week. And we wonder why we're not strong Christians. And we wonder why we're not seeing people's lives change the way they should. And part of it is because it's an indictment that we need to be teaching people more along the lines of living according to the Spirit of God and not according to the flesh. And, you know, sometimes we just kind of get off on these things. You know, we get off on one way or another. It's kind of like having somebody drive down the road and going into one ditch and then going out of that ditch and going into another ditch, right? I believe that God wants us to take the things of the Spirit and the Word of God and straight down the middle of the road and avoid the ditch on both sides. Avoid the ditch that says, well, you know, I'm just under grace and I can do whatever I want. And avoid the ditch that is over on the other side that people are afraid to breathe for judgment. You see, I believe that God he's got an answer in His Word. And we can live according to a righteous way of living. In fact, Romans 8 tells us in the beginning of that chapter, verse 1. Let's look at it. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say no condemnation.
No condemnation.
But here's the thing. To those who are in Christ Jesus, There's a condition here. And who do not walk according to what?
The flesh.
The flesh. But according to the Spirit. And then verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And the caveat is those who walk according to the Spirit, not after the flesh. Not after the flesh. That's why we can go down a little bit further in the chapter, and we can see that if we will be led of the Spirit, right? Be led of the Spirit, then we are the sons of God. It's manifest in our lives when we're led of the Spirit. So what do we have to do? Well, we've got to listen. We've got to learn to listen better to the Spirit of God. Learning to listen has to do with literally taking time and deciding, I am setting some time apart with you, Lord. I am setting apart this time so that I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear what adjustments that you want me to make. Father God, that you can help me fill my calendar, not just to fill it, but to fill it with the things you want me to fill it with. If we're going to truly number our days. And so as I was this week, I had my calendar open. Had it open. And I was praying. And right when I was praying, I know sometimes you hear people and ministers talk like this. You say, that never happens to me. It doesn't happen every day, okay? But it really did happen to me this week. I'm have my calendar in front of me. I'm praying. I actually had just finished breakfast, and I was sitting, and I had my cup. I had a cup of coffee, and I'm at our little dining room table, and all of a sudden, a weird message pops up on my phone, and it's from the British Virgin Islands. Now, for those of you that have heard us, Pastor Christine and I in 1997. Actually helped to start a church under a white circus tent in the British Virgin Islands on Virgin Gorda. Well, that church is still thriving and doing well. They've been through a hurricane, they've been through COVID, and still hanging in there. Glory to God. Well, on the other end of the line was one of the gentlemen that we were involved with, that when we left, we turned the church over to him. He's still the pastor.
Amen.
And it was Pastor Paul Ricketts. I could recognize his voice and hadn't talked to him in several years. And so I answered it. It was on a WhatsApp. I'm not used to using WhatsApp. It was a WhatsApp thing. It was kind of this weird sound that my phone made. I'm not used to it making that sound. And lo and behold, it was him. And he said, Brother Mitchell, we're celebrating 25 years as a church, and we would like you and Sister Mitchell to come down and help celebrate with us. And so we're praying about that. I didn't give my yes. I didn't give a no. But isn't that interesting? That when I'm saying, Lord, teach us to number our days, and I have my calendar out in front, that I get a message like that. That's because we're consecrating our year to the Lord. We're consecrating our day. We're consecrating this church to the Lord. God, what outreaches, what things do you want us to reach into this community for? So as you are led to fast, not commanded to fast, but as you are led into a fast to pray, then you're actually seeking direction about something. What are you doing? You're tuning your ear to listen. You're tuning out the distractions. You might, some of us, and I've done this before, where we've done phone fasts. They're harder to do these days, because you need your phone for so many things. But for those of you that are working, I mean, I use my phone constantly at work. It is a tool, but it also is a distraction. So it's kind of hard to just turn it off. It really is. And so, but you pray about that and say, okay, Lord, how can I pull back from this so that I can hear you clearer? It is important that we do that. It's important that we do that. All right. Continuing on. One of the things in Psalms, it tells us that if we would... Thank you, Lord. Psalm 46, that's it. Psalm 46. So we're gonna be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. So when we're still, that requires us shutting some other things off. I'm talking about listening today. I'm talking about listening to the voice of God. Now turn with me quickly over there to Proverbs 20:27. You've heard me mention that we are a tripartite being, that we are made in three parts. And in Proverbs 20:27, Proverbs 20:27, notice what the word says to us. The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. The NIV tells us that. So it is the human spirit, or the spirit of man, is the candle of the Lord. So if the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, we want that spirit to be illumined by the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and to help us to listen to what God is saying. Now, if you remember what Jesus said, so that we can balance this out with a little bit of New Testament, Jesus told us in John chapter 10, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So a lot of times I hear Christians say, "Well, I don't know how to hear God." Well, part of it is that there's too much noise going on in your life. You need to cut out some of the noise. And then start reading the Word of God, because the Word of God will speak. It'll speak forth what you need to know. So if you start with meditating on God's Word, it's going to help you hear God's Word, God's voice on the inside of your spirit that much better. In fact, if you remember what God said over there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. So that was a recipe of meditating on God's Word and doing what God's Word said. We know that James chapter 1 tells us to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. So again, the New Testament always balances out the Old Testament when we come up against an Old Testament scripture. So we have to be a doer of the Word. So number one, meditate on the Word. Number two, be a doer of the Word of God. Again, this is going to help us sensitize, if you will, not desensitize, but sensitize our spirit to hear the voice of God. And put God's Word as the center point of your life. Not culture, not politics, not anything like that, but put God's Word at the center of your life. If you remember what Solomon wrote there in Proverbs 4. Now, we've been going over Proverbs and wise guy advice on Wednesday nights. He said in Proverbs 4 in verse 20 and 21, he said, "My son, attend to my words." In other words, give them attention. "Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart." So if you'll keep God's word at the center, you will not get, as we say sometimes in the South, snookered. You won't get tricked into following the voice of another or following after something that you ought not to be following after. I believe that God helps us because, again, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's the one that searches the inmost parts of us. And when we are born again, as born again children of God, the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of us and light our human spirit up. We are lit up on the inside so that we can know this is the way, walk in it. You say, "Pastor, I hear people talk about when the Lord said this to me, and the Lord said that to me, and the Lord said this to me." And maybe you feel like that's never happened to you. I think part of it is the way we communicate how the Lord is speaking to us. I think sometimes we put Christianese on it. You know what I mean by that? We know the Lord led us to do something, but instead we say, "The Lord spoke to me and told me XYZ." And then somebody else who maybe is trying to learn about these things gets frustrated because they're like, "I didn't hear anything. How many of you know what I'm talking about?" Right? But if we would learn to listen and not always over-dramatize, that's a redundant phrase, right? But to make it too dramatic. I think many times when Christians have said, "The Lord spoke to me and told me XYZ," they really could say, "I felt like the Lord led me to go in this direction." And when I did, this is what happened. So it's not that anybody's trying to be deceptive. I don't think anybody's trying to be overdramatic. I think we've just got grown accustomed to that's the way a lot of Christians talk, and I've talked that way before. Well, the Lord spoke to me and told me X, Y, Z. It almost sounds authoritative, right? But in reality, if we would just learn to be led of the Spirit of God, very rarely does God have to come from heaven with a booming voice to any one of us. He doesn't have to. He's got the Spirit of God on the inside of us to whisper us and tell us to go this way or to go that way. As a young college man seeking God on Friday nights, sometimes I wouldn't go out with my friends. I wouldn't do the things that a lot of other Christian people were doing, and there wasn't anything wrong with it. It's just that sometimes I would shut in myself. I lived by myself most of that year, my senior year in college, and I just shut the lights off, locked my door, and most everybody was gone on the hallway anyway. And I just sometimes I take my guitar out and just sing to the Lord, minister unto the Lord. Just seek Him. And I remember many times looking out over that campus of Oral Roberts University and saying, God, I want to hear You when You whisper my name. I want to get better at hearing You. Because there's so much noise. There's so much noise out there. There's so much noise culturally. There's so much noise religiously. There's so much noise politically. There's so much noise financially. There's noise. We are a distracted people. And nobody's really communicating. We're shouting. There's no dialogue. There's no listening going on. Why? Because it's easier for me to post a real strong opinion on social media without having dialogue. I would never say something to somebody to their face the way we write it. Because it's easier for us to hide behind a keyboard and hide behind an anonymous thing than it is for us to actually have dialogue and say, listen, I feel you're hurt. You seem upset. Can we talk about this? What's going on? I remember many years ago, my wife and I were trying to help two young 20-somethings get through a difficult relationship. They were Christians, difficult relational thing. And I remember my Pastor Christine pulled them in an office and started talking to them. You know, just, okay, so now what happened? Well, she said this. Well, she said that. She said this and she said that. And it was shocking. I mean, shocking. Not cursing or anything like that, but shocking that the dialogue was going backward. And Pastor Christine looked at him and said, did you really say that? And they go, no, they texted it. No, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it that way. And then what happened? Understanding came. Because now there was dialogue. There wasn't just firing off my opinion or firing off my stand. There was actual dialogue. And so what we have right now in our society, nobody's really dialoguing. It's just easier just to jump in the fray and, oh, well, I'm going to bless God. I'm going to make my voice known. Okay. But did you have dialogue? Would you say that to a person, to their face? A lot of times we wouldn't. In fact, I love what Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin said this, and he's known for his teaching on faith. But if you really look at his life and ministry, faith works by love, doesn't it? And he said something. He said, I just weighed my words because I didn't want to cause ill to my brother. So if he said something, he didn't want to cause my brother a problem. He was known to be a man of love. And I'll never forget this. I was working with a gentleman that worked directly with Brother Kenneth Hagin, and he said that somebody had taken out a full-page ad in the newspaper, in the Tulsa World newspaper, that basically just said all these horrible things about Reverend Kenneth Hagin. And that's a lot of money. A full-page ad is a lot of money in a newspaper. Think about that just for a second. Somebody spent a lot of money to say some really horrible things and then tell everybody that well, Kenneth Hagin is a horrible person. And it was a minister who had done this. Another minister. And he walked. My friend was working for him in the radio department for the Faith Seminar of the Air radio show. And he came into my friend's office and he put the paper down on my friend's desk. And he said, "Imagine that." This was what his words were. He said, "Imagine that." And my friend looked at the headlines and read the article, and he was like, "Oh, you should be so upset about that." And he said, "That's just sad." And that was the extent of his response. He never lambasted the other brother. He never did anything like that. He would not work ill towards somebody else. But isn't that sad? That they would spend that kind of money. And he shrugged his shoulders and he didn't let it get under his skin. He didn't let it offend him. We're living in a society right now where everybody's offended about everything. This offends me, that offends me, this offends me, that offends me. You offended me because I offended you, because offend. Really? Let's have dialogue. Let's move past those things. And we as believers should be doing it more and more and more. We should be known as the lovey-doveys. That we should be approachable. We should be approachable even in uncomfortable situations. And I can't do it because we're on Facebook right now. Though I've had some pretty interesting uncomfortable situations here recently. That challenged my faith. They challenged, not to say that I don't believe what I believe. Oh, I believe it even more. But to have dialogue and to have an actual conversation, man, I'll tell you, I challenge you, step out of that comfort zone and show love to people that maybe you wouldn't normally show love with, to maybe have a conversation with somebody that you normally wouldn't have a conversation with. And it's refreshing. And you don't, you know, you're not compromising what you believe. You're not compromising what you believe. You're just, what would Jesus do? Who was Jesus's, who hung out with him? Who was their first followers? A ragtag group of people. And they were pretty diverse. One was a zealot. And one was a tax collector. Those two hated each other. And yet they were on Jesus's staff. Then we look over in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, what do we see? We see the church at Antioch that had a bunch of different kind of people. Jewish people, right? We had people that grew up under Herod, who were in Herod's household. I mean, we have a Pharisee. We've got a tax collector. We got somebody from Cyprus. Come on, people. We have God's people. God's people. Not just the group that they hung out with. And what happened? They ministered to the Lord and God spoke. So how do we listen? Minister to the Lord. Meditate on His Word. Listen to His Word. Put His Word first and foremost. And watch what God does. He'll just open up bridges, opportunities for you to hear other people's stories. And when you hear their stories, God will give you an answer to touch their life. Somehow, it might only be that little bit that you do that helps change somebody's attitude, helps shock somebody. And they go, wow, I didn't know that. And, you know, I really challenge us to really, truly live listening out. Live listening out when it comes to not just, Lord, should I take this job? But Lord, should I say something to this person? What can I say right now? All I did a couple days ago at work, somebody looked like they were upset about something. And all I did So I said, hey, can I help? Can I pray with you about anything? Do you know, 3 days later, they came to me and told me, they said that just touched them, that I did that. They didn't take me up on my offer, but the mere fact that I opened my mouth was exactly what needed to happen. Why? Because we're salt. We're light. We are to listen. Say, listen. So how do we listen? Turn out the noise. If God leads you in a fast, that's one way. How do you listen? Get in the Word. Meditate on the Word. Find out what God's Word is saying. Remember, we used the practical of the first 15 as a guide. Don't beat yourself up if you didn't do it one day. Oh, Pastor, I missed the first 15. Okay, tomorrow. His mercies are new every day. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that His mercies are new every day? That you can just start again the next day. Glory to God. Just start again the next day. Yeah. First 15. Give Him that 15. Meditate on the Word. Put the Word first in your life. Act on the Word. The more you act on the Word that He gives you, the more He can talk to you. And He'll lead you in that still, small voice. You're not going to necessarily hear the booming voice from heaven. And listen, if you do hear the dramatic voice, most likely there could be rough waters ahead, because you need that dramatic thing to hang on as an anchor for your soul, because the winds are coming, right? So, listen, if you can just learn to listen to the still, small voice. You know, Brother Hagin used to say it's better and more important for somebody to learn to hear the voice of God than to get a college education. Was he against college education? No. He was basically saying how important it is to learn to hear and discern the voice of God. Because you'll be in the right place at the right time. You will not listen to some things that you otherwise would listen to. You won't be fooled. You'll have a discerning heart. You'll filter everything through the Word of God and say, nope. Can't accept that. And if it's your own flesh that's talking, then you'll say, nope, that's my flesh. Can't listen to that. I got to listen to my spirit. If you'll make your spirit man the stronger one, you'll be blessed in everything that you do. I guarantee you that you will have a good result. If you'll do that, I guarantee it. It's the way it is. That if you would learn to do that, praise God. Lauren Cunningham, in his book, Daring to Live on the Edge, said it this way. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices that try to get your attention. Sometimes they're the voice of your own mind. Sometimes it's the voice of others. Culture. The world. Sometimes it's the voice of Satan and his demons. And sometimes it's the mind of God. And it's exactly what God wants you to do. Well, how do you discern that? You discern that by being still. By turning out the noise that is all around. If you turn out the noise, turn off the social media. Turn out the noise. Turn off the TV. Turn off the Netflix binge-watching documentaries. Because some of the documentaries, let me tell you, they have an agenda. They are wanting to influence you. It's not just, oh, we want to tell you some nice information. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, there are a lot of voices in the world, none are without signification. There are a lot of voices trying for your attention. There are a lot of voices that are trying to get your spirit's attention. I have to tell you, you need to learn to discern. And the way we learn to discern is we turn out the noise. If you need to fast, fast. Put the Word of God first. Meditate on it. Act on it when you know you are supposed to act on it. Right? keep the word the center of everything you do, base it on the word, and lastly, listen for that still small voice. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He'll lead you. He'll lead you. I've told you this story several times as a pastor where I was doing an overnight shift. I would literally spend all night long at an assisted living facility for senior citizens. And I was their security guy. Not so much security as much as if they ran into trouble in the middle of the night, they'd pull their emergency cord, and I would go unlock their door, make sure they were okay, and if I needed to call the ambulance, I would. And many times when I was driving either home and it was bad weather, there was about four different ways to get from here to New Canaan, Connecticut. There's many different ways to go through the back roads. You can go out 172. You can go up out Route 35. There's a lot of different ways you can go. You can go the long way and go out Route 7 and then down. There's a lot of different ways you can go. You can go the long way on the southern end and go out to 87 and up through Greenwich. There's a lot of ways you can go. And one night, I just know that the Lord just told me, not the dramatic voice, but the still small voice, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Would we learn to not just listen in those things, but when God says, speak to that one that's sitting across from you. And you're like, God, I don't really feel like speaking to them. Or speak to the person that you're flying on an airplane with. God, I don't know if I really want to tell them what I do for a living. And God says, open your mouth. Open your mouth. The still small voice. The world needs Christians that live this out. So, I've been talking to you about listening. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about loving. We're looking through the lenses to prioritize our life, to number our days. The lens of listening. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us means I have a heart to hear. I've inclined my ear. I've leaned in. You've heard me talk about that before. Lean in to the things of God. When you lean in, a lot of other stuff is just fluff. And you don't need it. You don't need it. A couple of years ago, I don't know if you noticed, but I stopped posting on social media unless I post a Bible verse. Because I just didn't want to get in the fray. I didn't want to get in all the people yelling at each other and just spouting off their opinion and feeling all good about themselves and making sarcastic things. I'm talking Christians. I'm not talking to non-Christians. And I'm like, no, not doing it. I don't need it. Guess what? I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. Why? Because my heart is leaning into the things of God. I want to hear Him better. Going back to when I was a younger Christian, saying, God, I want to hear You when You whisper in the middle of a crowded room. And I've had that happen. I've had it happen in the middle of a crowded, bustling Christmas time retail environment with people everywhere. And right in the middle of that, God drops either a sermon in my heart, speaks to me about something, and I just, you see, God can talk to you right where you're at. If you're leaning in, listening. One of the newer roles where I work, I have to greet people. I'm a greeter. A fancy greeter sometimes. And I have to help kind of discern where people need to get help. So I'll interview them for a quick second and ask them. And sometimes they're upset. They're mad at my company. They're mad. They're mad. And I get the brunt of it at times. Okay? And I'll just, you know, anyway. I won't go too much into detail. But one thing I've learned. We as human beings, we're not good listeners. No, we're not. Part of my job is to kind of keep track of where these people go in the building. So I have to tell them, you know what? You're going to go over to that table. I need you to stay at that table until somebody's going to come and help you. 5 minutes goes by. One of my colleagues comes up to me and says, where's so-and-so? You said they were over by that table. Because I send a message through electronic means that they're over by that table. They're dressed in a blue coat. They have a red hat on. And I said, that's where I told them to go. Do you think they're there? No. No, no. They're on the other side of the store. Somewhere else. And so we got to go find them. And I realized 9 times out of 10, people don't listen. They'll listen to one little thing you say, and that's it. Develop the listening heart. Lean in. In that same context, sometimes I'm at the front door, it's noisy, and it's really just a noisy environment. Some people are wearing masks, some people are not. And people are talking to me about this far away, as I am from Sister April, and they're going, and I, you know what I have to do? I have to lean in and I'll say, excuse me, could you say that again? Do you know sometimes you need to say that to the Lord? Lord, I'm sorry. I think you were trying to get my attention. And lean in a little bit more and say, come on, God, I need to hear it. Because I don't want to miss it. God, that we would be so sensitive to hear your voice that we won't miss it. Amen? Praise God. Listening. Next week, we're going to talk about the filter of love. Everything going through that filter. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that today you just challenged us with numbering our days and learning to listen that much more effectively. Listening to what you say. Listening for that still, small voice. Lord, I pray, God, that we as a people, as Westchester Family Church, God, that we would have such a discerning heart that we would know. That we would know your voice. You said in your word, we can be your sheep and we can hear your voice. That as sons and daughters of God, we're led of the Holy Spirit. As long as we're not giving into the flesh, Father, but instead walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. That our hearts are sensitive to what you say to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for helping us as a church. Thank you for helping us as individuals today. Lord, I pray to God that your people would practice this week, learning to listen to you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing you got to do is you got to ask Jesus in your heart. You got to get born again. You got to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead for you. The good news is that Jesus came to give you life. And if you're watching online or you're here in person and you want to receive Christ, I want you to lift up your hand if you're just watching online. I want you to pray with us. We're going to pray out loud together. I want you to pray this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he's alive. You raised him from the dead. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. From this day forth, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to know about it. I want you to let us know. Message us on Facebook. I want to help you find a church and send you some things to help you in your walk with Christ. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that is a Bible experience. It's an experience with power. Power from on high to live your life and to become even more sensitive to the voice of God and the Holy Spirit. We'd like to pray for you. I'm going to be available after church if you'd like prayer in that arena. If you would like more information, you can contact us through the internet, and we'd be happy to help you find information on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Let's stand to our feet as we have our sending out verse. Praise God. We're going to be listening people this week, right? Listening people. Amen. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You're dismissed.